I was never supposed to make it this far. Now that I'm here, I will fight anyone and everyone.
Hold on, look out! Pop a powerbomb!
On my first night on Raw, I said anybody who didn't know me yet wasn't worth my time. Well, now everyone knows who Kevin Owens is!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another edition of As the Heel Turns. I'm your host for now and forever, hopefully until someone says otherwise.
Otherwise.
Very nice. Big Al, Alexander K. Lee. And joining me is the most beautiful man in the pro wrestling podcast world, Connor Dorian.
Thank you very much, Alex.
And star of many podcasts, including the Pop and Joe show, Dario Pop Passarelli. How's it going, Pop?
It's going well. Thank you very much, Alex. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm in a good mood. I'm kind of in a good mood. We've had a little bit of a strange day.
A little?
A little bit.
There's yeah, but well, we're not going to get into it.
No, we don't need to get into it. But if people are wondering, you know, I think people care about us. Dario, don't you think they care about us? Care about our feelings?
214 no. People do.
214 people clicked a button. I don't think they necessarily care about us.
Okay. But if one person clicked it 200, never mind, I won't go there.
If one person cares about me, then my day is made.
See, I only clicked it 210 times. I don't know who the other four are.
I might have done it by accident. I think I was trying to click on Sports from the Six, and I clicked on As the Heel Turns.
Shout out Sports from the Six.
Shout out to all the other podcasts.
You know what it was for me? It was, you know when you close the door in the fridge and you don't know if the light goes on? So I had to click on that link just to see if it was there. And then I had to click back just to make sure that it was still there. And then one more time. And then... Are we supposed to talk about wrestling?
Yes. Before we get too far from that scintillating intro that you guys put together, or that Dario put together, anyway, that we put together, let's get to Owens and Cena, which was clearly the match and segment of the night of the Elimination Chamber event. Just to give a little recap, Kevin Owens defeated John Cena in what was his very first official main roster WWE match, and it was a sensational match. Guys, would you agree?
Oh, by far. I mean, it's one of the things that we've seen Owens in the past. Myself personally, I've seen him wrestle Sami Zayn in the victory in the NXT match. It was the only time I actually got to see him wrestle. Already spoke enough about his promo skills on a microphone have been phenomenal. But I have to say, my jaw fell open a couple of times during that match. He made moves that I did not really think was in his repertoire.
Yeah, it was a great match. I want to throw it out there and say possible match of the year. So far, boys, what do you think?
I'm going to hold back on that. I had my caveats with the match. Obviously, my memory isn't great right now as far as what the other great matches were. I mean, I did enjoy the WrestleMania. Yeah, you know, I guess there really wasn't anything from WrestleMania that really stood out.
Well, the main event was pretty good.
Sure, I think match of the year candidate, yeah, that's fair to say. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, you look back on WrestleMania, I thought we recall the Orton... RK was phenomenally well done off the curb stomp, but that was a move.
That
was a move, not necessarily a match.
The match was good.
The finale was great, but I have to agree, for the first half of the year, that Kevin Owens John Cena match was wow.
Yeah, it was really something. As you both have alluded to, they really broke out all kinds of moves you just don't normally see at the WWE level. Owens even teased his former finisher that he used to use as Kevin Steen, the package pile driver, which, as we all know, pile drivers are banned in the WWE now, and he turned it into sort of a package side slam, which I think should be his finisher from now on. I like the pop-up powerbomb, but it's a little generic for my taste. I think the package slide slam, whatever they would want to call it.
Were
I thought
you
that
talking
was
about that, the one from the top rope?
No, this one was, it was again, one of them, and this is when I had problems with the match, which we'll discuss later. It was one of the many intricate power moves that Kevin Owens hit. He sort of balled him up like in his,
right,
and then
right.
flipped him. And in the indies, he used to do a pile driver, which I understand they can't do. But I thought that was a cool finisher. I would have liked that.
I also thought that, you know, he made a couple of moves off the top turnbuckle that I didn't think Kevin Owens went to the top turnbuckle the way he did. I thought that was just incredible. You described the one, Connor.
Yeah, the one he was sitting on the top rope, his feet on the second rope. He jumped up, turned around off the top rope, and did a backflip, and it didn't hit, but it was still an amazing feat for a man that size.
I think the camera almost missed it. I think they were so, even the production team was so caught off guard by that. I think they thought he might climb down and just start beating on Cena again. And then, as you said, he went for a springboard moonsault. And I think that you could hear people in the crowd gasp, like.
and I think it was one of the things as well that made the match so interesting for me and what for most people is the fact that I truly did not know how they're going to finish this match. I mean, we know lots of times when Seth Rollins is in a match, it's still a great match, but we know he's still going to walk out with the belt. But with the Kevin Owens, John Cena, I literally had no idea. And every time there was, you know, one, two, no, you know, it was generally surprised. I caught me off guard. I didn't think Kevin Owens was going to win it, and they gave him a clean finish.
I think it caught a lot of people off guard. I remember last week on the podcast I said that I would like to see Kevin Owens win, but I think Cena was going to come out. So it definitely surprised me. It was an amazing finish. It was good creative on that one.
It was a great finish. For me, definitely the ending sequence went on a little too long. This is the sort of thing that I call a bomb fest, which is when, and we see it a lot in indies, we've seen it at Smash Wrestling shows and really any independent show. And if any people watch Japanese wrestling, huge thing over there, where guys just unload on each other with these powerful strikes and power moves and a lot of kickouts. And it's very exciting, but emotionally, and this is sort of the old school fan in me talking, emotionally, you can only peak so many times before the kickouts just get exhausting. And if you want to say that they kind of told the story that Owens had to hit him with almost literally everything to finally beat Cena down, then I can respect that. That's one way of looking at it. But after the top rope brainbuster or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we were
going
to call it.
We were talking about it earlier. We didn't know what to call it. A sort of a top rope brainbuster, and he hit Cena with his own move, his own finisher, and he hit a senton bomb or a swanton bomb, depending on how you want to look at it. He hit an insane amount of power moves. And after a while, Cena kept kicking out. And it's not a criticism of Cena. This is a criticism of just the product in general these days of a lot of, they like to have a lot of finishers and guys kicking out. And for me, once you do it a couple of times, you've kind of peaked. And after that, you're just getting diminishing returns every time. So for me, that's why I can't quite fully embrace the match. It was a great match, but I do think there will be better. Hopefully they'll be better by the time the year is over.
You know what bothered me is when a superstar hits their opponent's finishing move and they kick out. Like, it proves the weakness of that move. I don't know if either of you find it that way, too.
I disagree. I think it actually helps the move because it makes it sound like, not helps the move itself, but it helps the wrestler saying
he's the only one that
can execute it with the killer, with the true finishing power.
See, I've never liked it that way.
Well, I still think now over the last few years, you're getting to the point where you have to hit your finishing move two or three times, especially at a pay-per-view event.
I hate that.
And, you know, I hate it. I you know, go back to, like, the one time where, you know, like a DDP or a Jake the Snake Roberts could hit their finish. They could get their bell rung countless times over and over and over again, and then out of nowhere pull that move off
and
win the match, and it was over. I don't mind it so much that they have to hit it two or three times. I think they had to go to that point because you can only tell the same story over and over again. I mean, back in the day, you hit a finishing move, you know the match was over. And so now they're trying to be a bit more predictable to keep it in, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I like when they can sort of tease the finishers as opposed to sort of always hitting them and then the guy always kicking out. But again, there's different methods. I'm trying to open up my mind, kind of like you would to different movies. You know, there's artistic movies, there's comedy movies. Sometimes there's all-out blockbusters where you have to put your disbelief on hold. So, you know, a match like this is almost a borderline blockbuster. I wouldn't call it totally unbelievable, but it had some blockbuster qualities to it.
I have to disagree with you slightly and just go, because you brought up movies here. The only good movies out there are movies that I like.
Connor, what do you think of that? I have nothing to say.
I'm speechless.
But I think that works for everybody, right?
Not at all. I hate my own opinions about things, and I put everyone else's opinion above my own.
Come on, Alex.
That's not true. At least not on this show, you don't. Although I think later on you probably will be eating your words at some point.
I thought we came to an agreement, but we'll get to that.
We'll talk about that later.
Staying with this match, we did talk about how extraordinary it was. Not just that Owens won. He won cleanly. Now, this brings up a bunch of issues for me. Where does he go from here? What does this mean for his NXT opponents? And touching upon something that our fine guest, John Chidley Hill, brought up last time with Rusev, is Owens even actually a heel when you think about it? So, but let's start with, where does he go from here? Should he have won the match? Where does he go?
I honestly, I've been thinking about this last couple weeks. I don't know where he goes after this. Like, I think it'd be cool to have him on Raw a couple times, have a fight at this pay-per-view. I think the second one's a little much. I don't know what they're going to do with the second one, but I don't want them to use him too much and the gimmick just kind of just falls by the wayside and just disappears.
Dario?
I have my own kind of personal thing in terms of where I want to see this go.
I'm shocked.
You're shocked. I know. And Dario's off in La La Land. He keeps dreaming, but...
Your dreams are starting to come true. That's what's terrifying.
That's what's terrifying. I know. And I should be getting paid for it, but I'm not. But anyways.
Making my dreams come true.
Oh, yes. Mm. I'm looking at it from this perspective over here. And you have his promos last night as well on Raw. And it's funny how you brought up movies earlier as well and blockbusters. And I've got the whole superhero thing. So I think the one thing that you can do, and this is going to be a while in terms of unfolding, but if Cena is a superhero, you need the anti-superhero. You need, in Star Trek vernacular, the bad Captain Kirk. You need the antithesis. You need the bizarro to the Superman. You need the opposite. And you see Kevin Owens saying that, you know, the champ is here. He's already using his catchphrases. I think you can start seeing, you know, building a situation where he is the bad John Cena. And I don't want to use the term heel or face because, again, like you said, our definition of heels is somebody who cheats, and he hasn't, as far as I can know, cheated.
Isn't that kind of what he is now, though?
But that's my point, but build on it more. Like, I'm picking things up. Like, have him start rapping. Have him, rather than being the Fruity Pebbles, have him be Bam Bam. Like, just have, like, the opposite thing, like build up. And I think you can probably get another couple of pay-per-views in a decent way. We already know that he's going to be fighting John Cena again in 2 weeks, which scares me, and Cena's probably going to get his victory there. And then, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But I like to see kind of like the anti-hero.
That connects directly to my NXT question then. If you're going to keep using Owens on the main roster like that, what does that mean for some of the you know, eggs that they've already planted? What do you do with eggs? You've hatched them.
A seed that you've...
Don't edit this. Don't edit this. What do you do with the eggs that have already been hatched down in NXT?
You plant bird seeds. That's how you get
you
eggs.
You plant the bird seeds and then they become eggs.
You know what? How about... Sorry, what if you have Owens winning again and then saying, you know, I'm not going to bother anymore, and he forces John Cena to come to NXT after him?
They would never do it. They wouldn't even let John Cena join the Nexus.
I know, but that would be cool.
But that's one of the reasons why I didn't want him to win this match, is because my friend Paulo, I'm going to shout out my friend Paulo, diehard Kevin Steen fan, he's loved Kevin Steen forever. He said he was just begging for Kevin Steen to win, Kevin Steen / Kevin Owens to win at the Elimination Chamber. So he got what he wanted. However, I warned him. I said, this Cena's going to get his win back. Just don't think that this is a one-match feud and Owens is going to beat him. Cena will get his win back, and probably at the next event. So it was one of the reasons why I thought Owens maybe should have dropped this one, or at least had some sort of non-finish.
See, I don't think he should have dropped this one. I just don't think they should have another match right away. I think they needed to put Kevin Owens back in NXT and be like the powerhouse has been. But to be more arrogant, like, I've beat John Cena, I don't need to be down here anymore, and just be ticked off that way too.
Yeah, if he's still on both shows now, it almost, and you never know, they could surprise us, it almost guarantees he's not going to lose any of his feuds that he's currently, you know, as I was saying, his feuds, he's got Samoa Joe, he's got Finn Balor, Sami Zayn's going to come back eventually, and they're going to have to conclude that feud. Now, the logical thing to do would be, at some point, Cena interferes and costs him the NXT title, allowing Owens to chase him back onto the main roster and stay there. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, I also like the idea of, this doesn't work. I was thinking of having the authority for them, what's best for business. What's best for business is John Cena, a good John Cena, because that's what's best for business. Otherwise, he would have gotten rid of him, because the authority hate John Cena. What if they force Kevin Owens back to NXT because they don't want to diminish the brand that John Cena is? And that kind of builds up that storyline. It builds it up, yet without having them face each other.
And it would position him to come back as just a super hot baby face when he finally comes back to the roster, you know, in the face of the authority, which I think fans would jump all over, right? I think, right? So overall, guys, regardless of how we feel about the result of that match, it certainly led to a sensational segment on Raw on Monday. We're going to play a little bit of that clip right now just to give people a taste.
Now, last night was the biggest win of my career by far, so I should be on top of the world tonight, but the fact is I'm not. Because the first thing I did after the match was call home.
And I spoke to my wife, and she told me how happy and proud of me she was, and that meant the world to me. But then I spoke to my son, who, like pretty much every other kid that watches WWE, is a huge John Cena fan. He's a kid. He's a kid. And when we talked, all he could say was, "Daddy, how's John? Is he okay? Is John Cena all right?" And you know, I get it, because he's been watching Cena for years. But just because I understand doesn't mean I think it's okay. See, because it's not his fault. It's not my boy's fault. Because what it is blind worship. Spurred on by the fact that for the last decade, John Cena has been portrayed as a living, breathing, real-life superhero. No, but think about it. Think about it. The bright colors, the powerful catchphrases, hustle, loyalty, respect. Never give up.
This is going to be interesting,
to say the least. Do you want to know why your son feels the way he feels? According to you, it is the WWE marketing machine. If that were the case, your son would have an Adam Rose t-shirt, he would Funkasaurus and want to grow up to play in the XFL. Your son feels the way he feels because, like the person holding that right there, or the young man in the second row on his father's shoulder, or the young person right there with a You Can't See Me hat and the sign that says, "I'm beating cancer." They feel the way they feel because they believe. And they believe because they see me each and every week on this stage deliver.
You know, I don't know what it is, but these two just bring the best out of each other. John Cena, you know, I always say he shouldn't be funny, but that line about the Adam Rose,
Funkasaurus and the XFL
was hilarious. But for the most part, it was a serious promo. And when Cena has an adversary like Owens, someone who you can tell really challenges him in the ring, on the mic, and there's a real clash of personalities there, I think genuinely, it just takes him to another level. And Owens, to his credit, is right up there with him.
It's gold. It's, you know, back to Seinfeld. It's gold, Alex. Absolute gold. And I don't want to say this, but, and even if it was, I don't care. But having that kid there with the sign, "I'm beating cancer."
That was unbelievable.
And John, it just made everything work, and it pulled at your heartstrings, and again, it just fired it up. And like those open challenge matches, you keep wondering, like, how long can these two go at it? Because every time that they are in the ring together, it sparks.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a little skeptical of Kevin Owens when he first came. You can tell he was nervous on the mic first time, but since then he's just been outstanding on the microphone. Like, John Cena has been one of the best on mic performers for a while now, and they haven't really anyone compete with him other than Paul Heyman, who's been gone for a while. But I think with Kevin Owens and John Cena together, they're the perfect match on the microphone.
Yeah, just to talk about the promo a little, it started off, Owens came out by himself, and he went after Cena sort of the same way he's been going after Sami Zayn down in NXT, bringing up how his son idolizes guys like Sami Zayn and guys like John Cena and how that just infuriates him. And then Cena came out and cut one of his Cena promos, you know, never give up, things like that, and made a point to point out people in the audience, especially, as Dario mentioned, one child who had been fighting cancer and was clearly a John Cena fan. And it was a very emotional moment. And I'm glad that fans are not too, whatever, quote-unquote, smart or too cynical these days to appreciate a moment like that, because I think things like that are very real and very important. And even though, you know, people don't want to get sentimental all the time, I think it was very effective. And again, just really added another layer to this feud. Any other lines that stuck out to you two?
Not really any specific lines, really. The one with the XFL we're talking about, that I was laughing in my bed when I was watching it last night.
Oh, for me, it's not so much in terms of the lines itself, but Kevin Owens' delivery. I mean, a lot of times, one of the things that I'm going to say, you know, up-and-coming wrestlers, and we know that Kevin Owens isn't, but a lot of times they feel that they have to be over the top when it comes to the microphone. And a lot of time, that's what's needed and that's what works. But Kevin Owens is everything far from that. He's very deadpan. He's very simple in terms of his delivery. I came out here and I did what I said I was going to do. End of story. He's got that realistic approach that just makes you go nuts. And it's fantastic.
And that touch of a French accent, eh, Connor?
Oh, I love it. Just a little hint of the French accent. Just enough that you can tell that he's from Quebec, but not enough that it's fake like Rusev and Lana.
Shout out to the Canadians.
One great line to close out the promo was Cena saying, "I stand for never give up." And guess what? You know, essentially saying, guess what, Kevin Owens? That's your story, too. Because Kevin Owens' whole thing is that I've been wrestling for 15 years, and it's unfair that John Cena's been on the top all this time, and I'm only now getting my recognition. So for Cena to kind of turn that around on him, and I'm not saying it was 100% right, but to turn around on him, I thought was so awesome and so emotional. And again, Owens, as you've been saying, just sells it with the right amount of, like, you can tell he's getting to him. He's simmering, but he's not giving it all away yet. He's like, oh, you got me, but I'm not going to let you know just how much you got me, you know.
We were talking about last week with facial expressions. I found with Kevin Owens, not only is it good on the mic, his facial expressions last night were unbelievable.
Yes.
Hang on.
Like right when you're talking about the kid with the "I'm beating cancer" sign, they cut to a shot of Kevin Owens and he just had this nonchalant, irritated look on his face. I was like, that is perfect for this situation.
He wasn't so, and I don't want to go there, but I'm going to go there. Connor, did Alex just make my point again when he said that Cena told Kevin Owens that never give up and that's what he does? Did you just, Alex, go into the whole Kevin Owens is the anti-Cena?
First off, I want to say Pop has never said I don't want to go there and not gone there. So when he, just for the record, all the podcasts and conversations I've seen and heard with him, he always goes there. He's going to go there.
Of course. Just like I said, what's that, the Will Ferrell line when he says, I forgot what he said.
Is this podcast appropriate?
Yeah.
All right, well, while Pop searches for that line, I'm gonna
make Alzheimer's is kicking.
Let's not go there. I'm going to make a much cleaner segue into something relating to Kevin Owens, and as I mentioned before, Kevin Steen, because it's mind-blowing that as recently as about a year ago, or just over a year ago maybe, Owens, as Steen, wrestled for our own local Ontario promotion, Smash Wrestling. He appeared two or three times, I believe, I'm being a little bit murky on this, but he appeared for Smash Wrestling. The work he did there was awesome. It's one of the reasons I'm such a fan of the company still. And Smash Wrestling happens to have two events going on this weekend. One is an all-women show called, it's called Give Divas a Chance, sort of, but they keep crossing out Divas. They don't want to call their female wrestlers Divas.
Well, after what WWE has been doing with them, I can understand why.
Oh, boy, yeah. I wouldn't want to be associated
another
with that.
Another story for
either.
Another day.
Another story, yeah. But yeah. I'm not sure in terms of what they call it, but it looks like a fantastic lineup there.
Yeah, we'll say Give Divas a Chance just for the sake of clarity. And then followed by a charity event. Their first, they've done things for charity before during other events. This is the first event they have dedicated fully to a charity called Smash Kicks ALS. So we'll talk about the Give Divas a Chance card first. Smash Wrestling has brought in a lot of good female wrestlers, many of whom they bring in. Who's one of your favorites, Connor?
Is that even a question, Alex?
I've just, you know,
touched on her before, right?
Touched on her before.
Boys, behave.
Cherry Bomb.
Oh, Cherry Bomb.
Cherry Bomb.
Oh,
yes.
I wouldn't have guessed. What do you like? Tell us a little about Cherry Bomb, Connor.
She is a terrific wrestler.
Yes.
She is a very good heel.
Yes.
She is married to another wrestler on Smash. I can't remember his
name.
Yes,
Pepper Parks.
Pepper Parks. She is married to him. She has been getting some big breaks lately. She was on TNA a few weeks ago. She won by disqualification. I'm going to correct myself. The first week I said she lost.
That's right.
She won by disqualification.
I can sleep now.
So she she's getting her big break, and she's going to be back with Smash this Saturday.
Yeah, Cherry Bomb is really good. And almost as we've been saying about Owens, it's her character that's so good. It's like she's a good wrestler, but for one thing, she screams like a banshee. I mean, no microphone necessary. When she wants to scream, it is you will hear it across whatever gym or arena or facility she happens to be wrestling in.
I'd like to add one more thing, too.
Go ahead.
She has one of the best super kicks I've ever seen.
It's really good. Portia Perez, who's another Canadian
wrestler.
Touches
someone's strings.
I'm just saying, Portia Perez, I didn't get a chance to see her at the Canusa all-women's show last year for Smash Wrestling. I don't know why she missed it. Maybe she was injured for some reason, but I had been looking forward to it, did not get the chance, and then lo and behold, she's back, thankfully, and I'll get to see her for the first time wrestling another talented wrestler, Vita Scott. So that should be a good match as well.
One second. Should we explain Canusa to the people that do not know what's going on?
Let me take this one because it took me a while to figure it out. Please. Well, not a while to figure it out, but... honestly, at my age, there's very few things that surprise me. There's very few things that shock me. I really like the word Canusa.
Yeah, it's good.
And for those that may not know, it stands for Canada and USA.
That's correct.
You put it together, it's Canusa. Now, not only does it sound cool, because I can say Canusa a lot, but the reason why it's so cool, Canusa, is because it obviously and properly puts Canada first.
You always have your priorities straight, Pop.
All the time.
Yes. Most up until now, all their women's shows have been based around the theme of Canadian wrestlers versus American wrestlers or expats such as Cherry Bomb and Candice LeRae, who are Canadian. I don't care what they say. And this one doesn't have that theme, though the Smash Kicks ALS event does have an official Canusa match with five Canadian wrestlers and a team of
And they're
American
all themes
wrestlers.
As well, right?
Right, it's five against five, well. Right?
So we'll get to that.
The match, right? It's five against five? The
it's five against
match?
Five, but there's a little... I have a question mark there, and I'll get to that in a second. So the Give Divas a Chance, there's also... I'll just run down the card quickly. Caitlin Diamond versus Jules Malone. Jules is a lovely blonde lady who is known for her hardcore matches. She is not afraid to get bloody. Courtney Rush v. Sandra Bale, and those are two of Smash Wrestling's staples. Heidi Lovelace... versus Angie Sky. Now, if anyone hasn't heard of these two, they had the unenviable task of wrestling the post-intermission match at the last women's show I was at. And that's the crowd is kind of, you know, they're still coming back. It's sort of a quote-unquote filler match. For me, that was the best match of the night. And this was a night where Awesome Kong was in attendance. So I have a huge compliment for Lovelace and Sky, and I'm happy to see them have a rematch. It was very hard-hitting. Cherry Bomb, as we mentioned before, versus Dania, another Canadian wrestler. Candice LeRae versus Allison Kay. Allison Kay is very good, if you guys haven't seen her. And the main event, the Giant, or the Mountain? The Mountain.
The Mountain, yes.
She is a giant, though.
She is.
The Giantess, or the Mountain, whatever you want to call her, just be nice to her. Vanessa Craven versus another Canadian who has become a huge star in Mexico over the last few years and is only starting now, I think, to take North American dates again, Jennifer Blake. So that's going to be a fine card, guys. I'm really excited that you're going to be there. Shall I move on to the ALS card, or do you have some comments to make?
Oh, I'm just looking forward to it. We have first, second row seats for this. And I've only been to two local independent wrestling events, and they were both held by Smash. And I've had an absolutely phenomenal time. I took my sons to one who absolutely enjoyed themselves. And I took a buddy of mine to the last one, and having some of the wrestlers dive into the audience, so to speak, and actually almost participate within a match itself, phenomenal experience and a great way, and it's not expensive, and again for charity, how can you go wrong?
I'm gonna say, boys, keep your heads up in those seats because you know these girls love to fly. They love to fly over the top rope. They love to do dives. Jules Malone is a brawler. She's going to get out there in the crowd and just start throwing people around. And it's, you know, just be careful. You know, Ed, anyone out there who thinks that women wrestlers can't get down and dirty, boy, you got to watch out at these shows. They will go into the audience and you could catch them straight fire, catch a punch right in the noggin.
And I have a feeling that they're going to be excited too, the wrestlers, in terms of because of what's happening later on that day, because of the second half of the evening, that they're out there to put on a show because they know that there's going to be a lot of eyes out there.
Moving on to Smash Kicks ALS, as you said, this is all going towards good cause. Opening match, Goat Brigade versus Super Smash Brothers. Super Smash Brothers, always entertaining.
Terrific tag team.
Brent Banks is holding the Brent Banks Invitational. He's very concerned about making up for his loss to Candice LeRae, the number one contender, Candice LeRae.
And he did lose to, I forgot his name, the handicapped hero.
He did lose to Gregory Iron.
Gregory Iron's a handicapped hero 2 months ago as well. So, yeah, a bit of a losing streak for the boy. But again, anybody that can wrestle like he can and put on a show, I expect great things.
Banks is money.
According to Facebook, he will also be doing autographs, which is rare for him, I heard. So keep an eye out for that. Scotty O'Shea, the hacker, versus Mr. Cherry Bomb, Pepper Parks. Matt Cross.
Mr. Cherry Bomb.
Mr. Cherry Bomb. Sorry, Pepper.
I'm sure Pepper's really happy about that one. I'm not going to sit beside you, Alex.
Former Smash Wrestling champion Matt Cross versus the most hated man in the company, Tarik. Tarik? Tarik.
I pronounce it Tarik.
The Canusa match with Team Canada being comprised of Jules Malone, Sandra Bale, Vanessa Craven, Courtney Rush, and Portia Perez versus Team USA of Cherry Bomb, Vita Scott, Heidi Lovelace, Candice, and question mark. Presumably they will have a fifth member, but no one booked in yet. So I'm hoping for, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this young lady. Her name is Tessa Blanchard. Does that last name ring a bell with you, Dario?
Oh, yes. Yes. Was... No.
Yes.
No.
She former. That's in here.
Former partner with Aaron Anderson.
Yes.
Part of the Four Horsemen.
That's correct. She is Tully's daughter, and also the stepdaughter of one Magnum TA. So she has quite a pedigree. I've been lucky to see her in person once and seen some of her matches before. She is an up and coming star. She's been in contact with the WWE many times. I think they're just waiting for her to get a little bit older and have a little more seasoning. So, by the way, this is not based on any rumor. If she's coming up, I'm just saying that'd be cool if she did show up. I have no idea who Smash Wrestling is actually going to fill that spot with. So, sorry if I put that out there, Tessa.
Yeah, because I think she would be a draw on her own.
Oh, absolutely.
She's definitely listening to this podcast.
And, of course, she's listening to this podcast. She's
and everybody?
I'm going to put her in the thing just so she knows she got mentioned. She's going to be a huge star. And then Sebastian Suave is facing the current champ, Johnny Gargano, Smash Wrestling champion. And then the headliner. Oh, I mean, it's not even worth mentioning, but Chris Hero, great wrestler, versus Samoa Joe.
Who?
Who?
That, again, we were at the event, Alex, when they announced that they were going to bring in a special guest for the charity event, the ALS. And you could tell there in the ring they were excited. And I'm going, yeah, you know, whoever they bring in, sure, they're going to be excited. They're excited. I think I fell off my chair when I heard Samoa Joe. And that stunned me. And, again, it just relates to, you know, talent like Samoa Joe giving back, but also giving back to companies like Smash Wrestling that are deserving of it, that they do put out an excellent product, and they can be a breeding ground for what happens to other promotions later on.
And a big round of applause for WWE for letting Samoa Joe finish all his independent dates and have his in his contract he's allowed to still do these, and it's great to have him here in Toronto.
Yeah, Derry, we've discussed this before. As far as I know, this is the first time they've had a guy signed and actually appeared and then go on to finish dates. They've been very good about that in general. You know, we talked about Steen was an example, a guy who they had signed, and even though he hadn't appeared on TV, he was signed by the WWE when he went on to, I think he appeared for Smash Wrestling again after he'd already been signed, and some other and several other appearances. So I'm glad they're being more lenient with that sort of thing, and it just makes sense. But it's going to be really exciting to see a guy who is essentially a WWE wrestler, definitely an NXT wrestler, appearing at a local indie promotion.
And our local indie promotion, yes, as we like to affectionately, because we do go to the shows. Again, yeah, it's only, what, 5 days away? Can't wait.
I'm excited.
Can't wait.
I'm waiting for a month.
I'm excited. And again, he's facing Chris Hero, who is no small shakes himself. He's a very big name. And I want to shout out one more thing for Chris Hero. So the event is June 6th. And then on June 7th, Mr. Chris Hero is hosting his own Invitational. And this is for charity. So the way this has been working is you go to, and I'll repeat this a few times, smash-wrestling.com, so smash-wrestling.com/ALS/. And it'll take you to a page where you can donate. Right now it's up to about $1,800. If they hit $2,000, Chris Hero is going to wrestle for 2 hours straight against a flurry of opponents. Whether he wins or loses, he has to stay in the ring and keep wrestling. It started off at 30 minutes, and luckily people are so eager to see him take a beating that they got the I pitched in a little myself, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of sadistic. And I wanted to help a good cause. And Chris here will be wrestling probably, if the donations hit $2,000, for about 2 hours on Sunday. Bless his heart for it. He's such a good guy. Anyone who's met him or even seen him at the shows knows he is just a class act in addition to being a fantastic talent. So, again, if you want to donate, even if you don't really aren't familiar with Chris Hero or wrestling, it's for a good cause. So that's smash-wrestling.com/ALS.
I bet you Chris Hero's going, that bucket of ice doesn't look so bad now.
So we're excited about the Smash show. Let's go to something that I know our own Connor Dorian is not so excited about. Last night's Raw. Connor, what? You didn't sound so, you didn't love it.
Yeah, I was give or take last night. There was a couple good moments, I guess. I don't know if there was one key match that really stuck out for me. I know you guys were really excited about the Roman Reigns matches and how well he's been doing. But other than that, I just the Kevin Owens Cena was kind of really wet my whistle last night. That was about it.
Dario, do you feel like them basing, again, I'll do a little recap. Reigns wrestled 3 matches last night, and every time on the line was his spot in the upcoming Money in the Bank ladder match. He wrestled King Barrett. He wrestled, who's the second guy he wrestled?
Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate, Mark Henry, thank you. And he wrestled Bray Wyatt. And they essentially based the whole show around him. There's been a few Raws in history, I could count a handful, that they've had one babyface wrestler wrestle more than one match. Do you think, Dare, this is a response at all to the extremely low rating the show got last week, and they want to see if, you know, what Reigns has, if he really has the kind of appeal to be a star?
I'm assuming everything that they do is in response to low ratings, and if that was the case, I think they struck out. I think they did a very bad way of doing it. I mean, I missed the beginning of Raw. I know that's sacrilegious, but I had to attend my son's
responsible.
My son's soccer game was a little important at the time. Who started off Raw?
The Authority was cut a promo,
but it was short. I did roll my eyes when I saw the Authority and Rollins come out again. But Reigns came out, cut a very simple. I thought it was simple and effective. I thought he has good facial expressions, limited, but good facial expressions.
He has one good expression.
And he seemed, more importantly though, he seemed relaxed. You can't deny that. He seemed relaxed, and he seemed comfortable in his own skin. And he essentially came out as a spokesperson for Ambrose. And I thought it worked well. And it set up both a ladder match at Money in the Bank and the 3 segments that Reigns would be featured in for the rest of the night.
But where does this put Reigns now? He's a spokesperson for another B-plus player, which I find Ambrose a B-plus.
Oh, I think that's a discussion. But again, I think when we're talking about ratings, I think the one thing, it's not a wrestler. It's not a group of wrestlers. I think what fans start getting tired of is when you say throw the same things out there week after week after week. Having the Authority start the show and end the show like they've been doing week after week after week. And, you know, at the, you know, saying how wrong they were and setting up whatever. And at the end, having the group of Authority attacking. I mean, it's the same thing over and over and over again. And really, who cares when you get down to it, looking after something different. And I think there's a very good reason why John Cena, Kevin Owens is always like, you know, in the middle of the match or the middle of the 3-hour Raw, is they want to keep everything else far away from it because they know it doesn't even come close to measuring up.
It's somewhat ironic that Cena has been main eventing for years with stale angles, and now he has this awesome, somewhat fresh angle. Though, I mean, it is iterative of some other storylines he's been in, but it is such a fresh, exciting angle, and now he's in the mid card. It's weird that they can't get the right angle to top.
But I'm cool with that because I think if it was the main angle right now, the Owen Cena, there will be so much hatred towards Cena. He's doing this on purpose. He has to have the last laugh. He has to be the main eventer. He's got such a big ego, blah, 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 blah. And I think it has nothing to do with him because we've proven already that when he touches something like this, it's fantastic. It's awesome no matter where in the card it is. I just think that they have to do something with the rest of the lineup that's going on. And especially, you know, forget about the Authority and Reigns. There isn't a strong face out there at all. There is no strong face out there, other than maybe Cena. and you have a tag team division that is kind of started getting their feet together.
I think it's getting better.
It's getting better.
Getting better, yeah.
And you have a women's division that is totally non-existent.
Shout out to Titus O'Neil.
Yes.
Yes. The last couple Please, go Absolutely. Ahead. Say some words That's about Titus, Connor.
Slow clap.
Father of the year.
For the father of the year.
Next, sorry, second place next to Dario Passarelli.
Well, thank you.
He's blushing now.
10-1 Suns hockey game, and I'm coaching the other one tonight.
I'm easily pleased.
Yeah, we won't go there. But looking at the situation where, going back to Elimination Chamber and the tag team chamber match, which I thought was a little, it was okay. It was
had some good moments.
It had moments.
To me, it was like, was there any match other than the Kevin Owens Cena, which you already rated as the number one? Was there any match that came second other than that one? That's not saying a lot because there was a lot of bad matches on there. But for the few moments that it had, I thought Cesaro was fantastic as always. I can't get enough of Cesaro. And the only thing that surprised me was Titus O'Neil. I thought he was the second best out of all the 12 men that were in there.
Yeah, Titus was definitely, I would say, the second best as well. He's got this new persona about him since he won this award, which is kind of strange to me in a way because he won this Father of the Year award and now he's just throwing people around. It doesn't really say much for him.
Hold on. Did Adrian Peterson hand out the award? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, that was bad. I'm so sorry. Oh. I'm so sorry.
We need the horns.
Too soon. Too soon or something. There'll be a sound effect there. Too soon. Boy. You know, but I tweeted this and I talked to you guys earlier about this. This is what happens, and I say this for Ryback as well, and I'll explain. This is what happens when you put your talent in a position to succeed, okay? Titus, for one thing, is not a bad wrestler, but he's also not a great wrestler. He's a power guy. And they finally said, look, he's a power guy. He's got a great look. The dude is diesel. Let's have him throw people around because he can do it, and it looks believable, and he's doing it, and people are reacting. It's not that hard. Same with Ryback. Ryback, all you had to do, for one thing, was get him to stop cutting long promos. He didn't like them. I don't think people backstage liked them, and fans definitely didn't like them. Now he's cutting these very short, quick, and effective promos, I think so anyway, and he's back to getting a reaction and just relying on a chant. Sit back on that chant, let the chant do the work, and anything you say about around it is whatever. So I'm really happy for Titus and Ryback. I'm not happy that Ryback looks like he's entering a feud with Big Show, but that's another... I swear they feuded already, and I never want to see them wrestle again.
Feuded already? You mean like this would be the fourth or fifth or sixth time? Like Randy Orton and Sheamus?
All I saw...
I'm not even going to talk about that.
All I saw was a white screen. Like, my brain couldn't even register another Randy Orton-Sheamus match. It was... I was kind of stopped what I was doing for a second, and I was like, I'm going to try and watch a couple of minutes of this match and really concentrate and just pretend it's these two guys facing each other for the first time, and you can't. It's impossible.
Now, the DeLorean came out as I tweeted out. Yes. We're back to the future all over again.
And Boy. Orton was out for so long, and he came back last night, and he had this weak match with Sheamus.
Yeah.
And he didn't even do an RKO.
Of all the ways to bring him back, why against Sheamus? Why do they keep doing this?
Why is he even in the Money in the Bank match? Because right now, the way it's looking, there's no way he's going to win.
Early predictions, who's going to win?
Oh
boy.
I didn't want to go there with that one.
Let me run down the participants. Hold on now. This is why we have, this is me earning my paycheck here. In the upcoming Money in the Bank ladder match in Columbus, Ohio, June 14th, Dolph Ziggler.
Who cares? I'm kidding. I like Dolph.
Oh, jeez.
I like Dolph. But
Pop's already on the loose.
Is it Dolph with Lana?
We know he's not going to win. Unless, the only way Dolph Ziggler wins is if Rusev is back healthy, which we'll get into later.
I'll say this. There's only one two-time... He's already won one. There is only one two-time winner, Mr. CM Punk. So if Dolph Ziggler won, he would join a pretty exclusive list.
Hasn't Edge won multiple ones?
No. He beat Mr. Kennedy and took his briefcase.
And it was his idea, the Money in the Bank, to begin with, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure Edge created it.
Yep. No, it was not invented by Edge. It was invented by Chris Jericho.
Either way, they're both Canadians. Okay, keep going.
But Chris Jericho also says he invented everything, so take that with a grain of salt.
It's the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
He is. Oh, I believe it.
That's wrong. It's not the grain of salt. It's the line.
Shout out to Fozzy, his band.
Shout out to Fozzy. Sorry, another participant, Neville, who we know is in there
that
to die.
That could be exciting.
Oh, it's insanely exciting.
Who cares?
Oh, Pop. Pop's on the loose. Roman Reigns, the favorite, I would say.
Who cares?
That wasn't Pop.
No, that was I know they sound alike. That was Connor who was poo-pooing Roman Reigns. Randy Orton together. Who cares?
I care.
Well, what? It's not that I don't care about these people, but anyways, keep going.
Kofi Kingston. Before anyone says anything, I'm just going to say the next one. And Sheamus.
Sheamus is going to win. That my first prediction, Sheamus is going to win. They've been pushing him so hard lately. He's been bullying everyone around. I think that's it.
I think when you're talking about Sheamus, I think it boils down to an answer to a question. And we're going to pull a Jeopardy here. We're going to go with the answer first. No. And the question?
Are you entertained?
He hasn't entertained me.
You didn't enjoy his cute little... So at the chamber, he pretended he couldn't get out of his chamber. Or his pod. Sorry, the chamber is the chamber. He couldn't get out of his pod. And then it turned out he had stuck something in the lock.
He stuck his cross in the lock.
That was fantastic.
I thought that was okay, right?
That was fantastic because that means he didn't wrestle, which means I didn't have to see him for another 3 minutes.
I knew where that was going. I was happy with that.
I have to admit, though, I was shocked when it was Sheamus and Ryback in Final Two. I thought for sure they were giving it to Sheamus.
Well, you keep saying that he's going to get a push, so.
Yeah.
I can see where you're going with that.
And why not? Like I said, I don't think Ryback is irredeemable as far as star power goes. And he's got a good chant, and I think he can get a reaction. As like, again, you keep his matches somewhat short. You let him wrestle long matches against guys who can handle that sort of thing, a Seth Rollins, a Dean Ambrose, even a John Cena, you know, guys who can help him. I don't like to say carry in this case. I think guys who can help him have a good match. And you can have a draw. He's an upper mid-card draw. I like Ryback a lot. So I was very happy for him, and I thought it was a genuine moment because it was his first singles title, and it looked like for a long time that Ryback just wasn't going to go anywhere. So let's hope he doesn't suffer the curse of the Intercontinental title or the King of the Ring or any mid-card title, which causes the...
Except for the U.S. title, has been...
Yeah.
Cena's been made it...
Yeah, true
legit
enough.
Legit now.
True enough. Let's... Before we move on, or before we close up, I just say, what do we think is going to happen to the U.S. Open... The U.S. title open challenge?
I think it's gone for a while.
I guess.
I think it has to be.
That's unfortunate.
Not really. I mean, we'll find out what happens next week. And then the week after that, we're already having a Cena match again. So
I don't think what happens next week on Raw, because it's obviously going to be Owens and Cena again. But
I don't know what happens
the week after the second match.
Oh, after the match. Yeah, no, I agree with you there. But I think he can have a match and have Owens interfere again, except maybe this time.
Cosmos title?
No, not necessarily Cosmos title. I think Cena might get the upper hand. Turn the tables.
Guys, I'm going to give you the option here because I want to close out with either or and not with both.
I have something to talk about.
Oh, there's please, Connor, go ahead.
Something that we haven't talked about yet. TNA has lost their TV contract again, second time in 2 years. Do you think this is the end of TNA? Have you heard anything about this story, boys?
I've heard the rumors, but I thought it wasn't, you know, I thought it wasn't 100% true.
From what I've heard, it's true.
And that's sad. I think WWE always needs a push. Back in the 90s when WCW was there, it was the best ever in terms of wrestling. It was the absolute heyday.
The golden age.
The golden age, which I lived through. So I would like to see other wrestling situations or TNA survive. I thought the product wasn't bad at all.
I don't think it was bad.
It was bad.
5 to 10 years ago.
It was very bad at times.
I haven't been following it recently. So
match-wise... I think they've been doing okay recently, but it's definitely the classic case of a company that would take one step forward and always seem to shoot itself in the foot and take two steps back. So that's the sad part, is there was always a lot of potential there, but they just would make bad decisions at key points and just could never quite break through. And they only have themselves to blame, not the talent. I think the talent they assembled was always good.
Yeah, they've always had good talent.
Got a question, though, about the talent. Not so much that, but... I don't know, over the past weeks when we have talking, we always have questions like, what did WWE do with so-and-so? And we don't have any answers. For example, whatever happened to Adam Rose? Where is he?
He's hanging out with Zack Ryder, I think. No, he's not hanging out with Zack Ryder. He's hanging out with he's a heel now.
You know, questions like, you know, did we figure out what happened with the rabbit?
<You know? laughs> Unresolved. He's driving the Hummer.
Now, I have a question here for you, and because we already discussed how poorly my brain is and I forget things. Didn't one of the Dudleys come to WWE recently?
He came back for one appearance at the Royal Rumble. Bully Ray.
And that was it?
Bubba Ray.
Bubba Ray.
And Bully Ray is TNA.
We were talking about TNA, so.
And what did he do?
He made one appearance and then was gone.
Okay, so.
He did the 3D and the what's up.
He did the 3D, and I thought it was hilarious that they just tried to pair him up with any random black wrestler they could find.
Is that R-Truth?
I think it was R-Truth, and I thought that was so offensive. And if I was D-Von, if I was D-Von somewhere, I would have been like, what the heck?
Okay, yeah, so no, again, questions that go unanswered.
Connor, wait, did you want to expand more on that question, or is that...
No, I just wanted to see where you guys were going with that. Another thing I was thinking about was what... If they do fold, what wrestlers do you think will come to WWE?
None of them.
None of them?
I you know what? I say that because I'm honestly not sure. I'll look it up right now for all of our...
Do you think Kurt Angle will come back? There's been rumors about that lately.
I don't think he will. I mean, the one good thing about WWE is that there's... Maybe CM, but there's never a bridge that's burnt enough
that
they can't come back.
This is true.
Now with CM Punk, like I said, or like we mentioned last week, probably he's not going to come back and wrestle anytime soon. But I think at some point, 20 years from now, he will get elected into the Hall of Fame, and deservedly so.
But for now, I should mention they're being replaced by, we don't know if they're being replaced again. There's still rumors that there haven't been canceled. There's some litigation going on right now. But one thing we do know for sure as that Destination America has picked up Ring of Honor. So, which has produced such champions as Tyler Black, who became Seth Rollins, Kevin Steen, who became Kevin Owens. Daniel Bryan, that's right, Bryan Danielson, who became Daniel Bryan. So, for anyone who is still interested in that sort of thing, and obviously it's a very different company now, but it is an alternative, and if you get Destination America in Canada, which we don't, but if by some through some nefarious means you would like to watch...
There is...
Which we do not promote nefarious means.
Not at all. No, not at all.
Except Connor, maybe.
A much easier way to find...
Oh, no, wait. I'm the heel. Except me, maybe.
A much easier way to find alternatives is to look up your local independent wrestling promotion, such as Smash Wrestling, like we will this Saturday. And please, please, please support them. Buy the merchandise. Get a ticket. Tell your friends. You know, bring anyone you know to go see. It's a great experience and very different from what you see on television. So... yeah, definitely. You know, if you're always looking for alternatives, as I know people are.
No, and it is. It's one of the things that we knock on a lot of things, and I know we've been giving Smash Wrestling a lot of voice, and it's deserved. They put on great shows every time we go, and we get so excited every time we see that. And I know we've been knocking WWE a lot for in terms of how they mismanage storylines, to say a lot of it. And I know that there's one... amongst us here in this threesome that is always bitter. That's myself. And
that's
really
not true.
Don't care.
No. That's not true.
For those of you that can't see through the radio, I just gave Alex an evil stare.
He just shot me at
the
look.
Glare.
He gave me a look.
But the truth of the matter is that it's still entertaining, and I got to give WA kudos for getting a lot of stuff right and going through it. So, when you look at the whole thing, you hate to see people lose their jobs in terms of TNA, and hopefully they can work that things out and move it along back to a situation where you have this competition and you have wrestling that goes on and have an entertainment value for all of us, because that's the bottom line.
I'm going to praise you for something this week, Pop.
Uh-oh.
I know, it doesn't happen much. You did not talk about Lana today.
Connor, why did you mention it?
And
I mentioned it because we only have a couple minutes left.
Well, now that you mentioned it.
We'll let him do his rant.
No, not a rant. Not a rant at all, but we're going to have to go back to Archer.
No, we don't. We never have to go back to that joke again. It was barely funny the first time.
I don't like that show.
It's a good show.
Watch your tongue, young man.
No, he has his reasons, and I agree.
That is awesome stuff.
Just for the record, Dara, and I'm putting you on the spot, and I'm sure this is a bad idea because we're only trying to fill like a few minutes, but how can you like Archer and not like Seinfeld? That's my question.
Okay, here. First of all, let's get back to it. I'm going to repeat what I said and change a few words at the same time. Does that make sense?
As long as they're appropriate
words. The best TV shows that are out there are the ones that I like.
Okay, good point. Good.
Okay,
good.
So that's number one.
Oh, okay.
Number two, Seinfeld. I never quite got into Seinfeld because they're really not nice people.
You're Archer. You're watching Archer.
What did Archer do that was so bad?
Everything. But again, then we go back to, the thing is, the best explanation is to go back to rule number one, which you just stated, and that really solves everything.
It really solves everything. You know, that's what's best for business, right?
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Now I'm not as confused yet.
However, getting back to Lana. That was such a touching Rusev we saw on Raw, wasn't it?
Oh, emo Rusev is my hero. Please let him wrestle at least one match in just the all black gear.
Hold on a second. But aren't they trying to do it? What did you just say? You said the all black gear? What is Archer famous for? His $900 black pullovers. I mean, I'm telling you, they're doing it.
Oh, he's literally becoming Archer.
He's literally becoming Archer. It's fantastic.
That does make sense, because how old is the show now?
Archer?
Like 5 or 6 seasons.
Six
seasons, yeah. For sure.
So you know Vince McMahon and WWE Creative like just watched season one and are like, this is amazing.
They're just getting on it now.
Like, that's a good point.
It is hilarious. And like I said, the whole black thing works in perfectly. And the whole Lana and Archer's girlfriend. Have you seen the show?
I have.
Who is Archer's girlfriend that he fell in love with and married, actually?
I'm not that far in.
Okay. Well, it's a Russian.
Oh, that lady, yes.
Well,
okay, yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point, yes.
She was a robot, yeah. That's fine, okay?
No spoilers,
I'm throwing it out there,
no
it was
spoilers,
a robot.
Right.
But
Lana's a robot?
No,
this character not, in,
yeah.
This other character.
This other character, not Lana, which...
Yes, you're correct. Yeah.
Yeah. See? Aren't the similarities there?
It's eerie. It's getting eerie.
So, but Connor, since you brought up Lana for me, thank you, what did you think of Rusev's promo?
That has nothing new with Lana.
Can you give us can you give us the actor's perspective on
the
his? Because it was a very close. They went right a close up right in his face. He really had to sell it. What did you think, Connor? You're an actor.
I think that he did a lot better than Roman Reigns has been doing the last couple weeks. I know you guys have been praising him for his facial expressions, but he has one, that little cocky smirk that is nothing.
Can I see you do it? I mean, this is great for radio, but can I just see you? I'll describe it to the people. Go ahead, give us a little smirk. See. If you're such
a
good
I'm
actor.
Not giving you a
okay, because you can't, because
you're
not
smirking.
As good at. You are always smirking. That's
exactly.
True. It's really just, yeah. Wouldn't prove anything.
Perma smirk.
But, and so you thought the acting was meh?
Acting was meh?
His accent, how was it?
Accent was almost non existent for most words, except for his R's.
Yes, he's still rolling his R's.
But forget about the accent, forgot about expressions. You have to go towards. I'm an English literature major here, so I'm going to say what the word. I mean, come on, the Russian saying. I am a broken man.
I'm a broken man.
And what he said, I'm the one that was crushed.
After years of crushing so many weaklings.
No, crushing America.
Crushing American weaklings.
Together.
Now
with Lana.
He is the weakling. And, you know, you pointed out before that I made fun of you for ever saying I might sympathize with him. But, man, I felt a little bad for my boy Rusev. So, in his honor, I think we're going to play something appropriately gloomy. You know, we usually end with some sort of kick and rock theme, you know, whatever some wrestler's theme or the theme of the next event. But I think we'll find something appropriate, and we'll cue that up now in honor of Rusev and to show that we feel him and we're here for him. Signing off for Connor Dorian, Pop Pastorelli. I'm Big Al, Alexander K. Lee. See you on the next episode.